CMC Markets is one of the world's leading CFD and spread betting providers with more than three decades of experience. Trade with CMC and you're trading with experts. 79% of retail investor accounts lose money.
Hello and welcome to the City View, the podcast from City AM in partnership with CMC Markets. Join me, Christian May, each week as I talk to insiders, industry chiefs and leading figures from business, finance, politics and the media. My guest today is the Michelin-starred chef and prolific restaurateur and entrepreneur, Adam Byatt. Adam has cooked in some of the finest restaurants and hotels in the country, and his Trinity restaurant in the heart of Clapham is one of the most successful and popular restaurants in the capital. Clapham is also home to his Bistro Union, and you can find Adam's menus at Brown's Hotel in Mayfair. But fame and hard-won success offer no shield against the ravages of a pandemic-induced lockdown. And like everybody in the hospitality industry, from greasy spoons to grand hotels, Adam is at the mercy of government policy and public health guidance. Adam, welcome to the City View.
Thank you, Christian. Thanks for introducing me. Nice to be here.
Well, I've had the pleasure of dining at Trinity several times, and it is sitting firmly on the list of London restaurants that I hope to visit as soon as you're allowed to take us in again. At this stage, do you have any idea when that might be? We know this lockdown is slated to end on December the 2nd, but it seems the government is leaving itself plenty of room to blur that deadline. This must be an immensely challenging time for you and your staff and your suppliers. How have you all been coping?
Well, yeah, the 3rd of December, that date, we have to have that in the diary and ready to go. But if I'm honest, I don't necessarily believe it. I've actually taken all the bookings out of the book for December. We cancelled something like 3,000 bookings. I just didn't want a book that was, I didn't want to move the book from November into December and then have to shift it again for a third time. So we moved them out. And when they introduced that, the furlough to March, I sort of had a bit of hairs in the back of my neck and thought, that 3rd of December date feels like it might be a bit ominous. But I mean, I'm holding hope for it, but it does depend on what the restrictions that come with it are as to whether or not we can open successfully and trade properly. But it's been a tough time. Yeah, I have to say, Chris, it's been a very tough time, very challenging, most challenging I've ever had in my career of 30 years in the industry and of 15 years opening of the running of Trinity. This has been the most challenging on many fronts for us.
Well, can you just take us back to late March, which feels like a long time ago, and the imposition of that first lockdown? Can you recall how you felt responding to that? And did you ever imagine that 9 months on, you'd be shut again?
The 20th of March, I'll never forget that day, that week building up to it. And we traded the entire week, actually, up until I came home about 5 o'clock on the Friday, watched the Prime Minister's briefing, and then just went back to work and did the last service with the team. So we were trading all the way to the very end, but it was absolutely terrifying because it was open-ended. You just had absolutely no idea if this was it. This was going to be a month. It's going to be a year. I just had no idea. So I didn't know, it really wasn't enough time to prepare. And how do I shore the business up? What do I do with my team? And what do I do with £7,000 or £8,000 worth of food stock that was in my fridges across the restaurants? So it was there was lots of things that went through my mind, but it was a very, very worrying time. But we then, after about 3 weeks, sort of settled into it, I'd shored the business up, furlough scheme came out. We managed to move the stock through the vehicle of a shop. We opened a shop and moved all the stock on, which was great. And then it sort of settled a bit. And actually, I like many people, I think I really enjoyed the middle part of lockdown, apart from the black cloud of not knowing where my business was at or what's going to happen. And obviously the horrendous deaths that were going on daily and things like that were making it very difficult to, certainly wasn't a holiday, but having some time with my family, my children, my wife like that was fantastic. And actually it was the other end of it. Actually, it was very difficult. When they announced that we could open on the 4th of July, I didn't feel that London was ready personally. I didn't feel like my customers were ready and I needed more time. It was a really difficult thing to navigate, getting through what are we going to introduce to make the restaurant comfortable for people in a COVID sense? Do guests want to come back? Are they ready to come back and dine? And all those sort of things to navigate. Do I unfurlough 60 staff or do I leave some on? It was difficult and a bit of a minefield to navigate. But we did, and we opened. And I have to tell you, we had one of the most successful 3 months that we've ever had. And I mean, partly that is because we made some good decisions and we made it right. But mostly that is because the West End and the city are completely void of people at the moment, and we are in a provincial area, and therefore we picked up an awful lot of slack, and there was obviously pent-up demand. So we had a very successful 3 months, actually, in the 3 months, and the COVID changes that we made to the business were great, and not changes we would have ever been brave enough to make before. So we've actually managed to sort of maneuver the restaurant slightly into what is now a better place, actually. So there is a positive there for us. But I never imagined we would still be in lockdown come 9 months later. No.
It's interesting to hear you talk about how busy you were in those summer months when we had some of our freedoms reinstated. I live down in Tooting and would work in the city. And I remember in August, I could have walked up from Tooting to Balham through Clapham, up through Kennington and up to London Bridge. And the entire length of that walk, it was buzzing with people. Everything was open. Everybody was trying to get out and be out. And then as soon as I crossed the bridge into the city, it was empty. And you must really feel for those in your industry who rely so much on the commuter trade or the business trade, because you're so established in Clapham. And of course, people would come from across London and further afield to come to Trinity. But I know so many people and have friends now who run restaurants in the business districts who are facing an even greater challenge. I suppose the one thing you could take from this is that you are fortunate enough to be placed as a proper local restaurant.
Absolutely. I mean, London did that whole donut thing where it was just completely empty in the centre and padded on the outside. You know, and I did have first-hand experience of that because I have, as you mentioned, a restaurant at Brown's Hotel in Albemarle Street in Mayfair, and that was a very tough, very tricky 3 months there. It was just nowhere near where we needed to be, covers wise. It was very tough going, and so I had sort of two ends of the spectrum on a daily basis. I was, the Trinity was booming, in fact, as was Bistro Union and upstairs, but Mayfair was very, very difficult to just wasn't enough people around. No.
And how have you found during all of this the level or the range and shape of government support? Nothing can just substitute for a busy, functioning service, of course, but the furlough scheme that you mentioned, the VAT cut, they've been well received, although lots of people would have liked more assistance with rents or business rates. How have you navigated those different schemes that have been available to you?
Yeah, I think that the government did, given the short notice of how quickly this all came on board, I think that they did a fantastic job in the beginning, in the first lockdown. The furlough scheme was an act of genius, really, and there were some grants available to people. They were very freely giving out, perhaps too freely, but they were giving out. And we did take advantage of a couple of grants. We couldn't get one on Trinity because it's too big, but we got one on Bistro Union, and we took advantage of the furlough scheme and some other bits. But so I thought the package in the beginning to support was fantastic, actually. I thought it was really good. You couldn't ask for much more than that. And for us, and I think it's important to remember that everyone has got their own journey in this, and my business is specific to me and what, my model, and it helped shore up my model for sure. It didn't work for everybody, but it worked for me. This end of it, I'm not so sure. I don't feel particularly satisfied and I think partly that's because I don't necessarily feel like hospitality has been treated fairly in this. I think they've been scapegoated slightly in this second lockdown. Secondly, because the furlough scheme, whilst it's brilliant, that's been reintroduced or extended out till March now, the furlough scheme protects the staff and it looks after the staff. And that's a very good thing. That's important. But there's nothing to look after the business that ultimately employs the staff. And if the businesses aren't looked after, there won't be businesses to employ and to implement furlough to those staff. So I don't think the business has been very well looked after this lockdown, although it is supposed to be short and sharp. And if it is, that's probably quite fair. But if it is extended or it goes on or there's another further lockdown, there's going to have to be measures to shore up these businesses, or they just won't have the staff to put out on furlough.
Well, we've seen a lot of examples of restaurant and hospitality businesses adapting, having been forced to adapt in various ways. You mentioned opening your own shop to clear some stock, and others have gone through takeaways or deliveries, business meeting loopholes. I remember just very recently was another short-lived avenue of mercy for some restaurants. What's been your experience of how your sector, your friends and colleagues have fought for any innovation or new revenue that they could during this time?
Yeah, it's a really good point. Our industry has been always been fantastic and at creativity and about manoeuvring around issues that come along, and it's nimble and it's dynamic in that sense. And there are some incredibly amazing entrepreneur operators in our industry. And to watch how they've all come out with, you know, these amazing dine at home packages and takeaway packages and opening different branches of shops, and people you would never expect have opened a delivery situation or moved into fast food and stuff. It's quite incredible to watch. And I find it quite amazing how people have adapted like that. I haven't. I did the shop for 4 weeks, I think, in the beginning of lockdown. Mainly it was to clear stock. Mainly I adopted that strategy before furlough was announced. So I thought, well, actually, it gives us something to hold on to. It gives us a presence in the market. It holds on to the staff. So, but after a while, the furlough was there. The stock had run out, and I just figured it was probably better just to lock the door, do a deal with my landlord at Bistro Union, and just close it up for the months that were ahead. And I haven't personally adopted any of the takeaway or delivery side of things, but that's been a strategy that I've wanted to do. I didn't want to do that, but that doesn't say it doesn't work for a lot of other people. Although I am hearing in this second lockdown, it's now a bit of a saturated market, and perhaps it's not quite so lucrative for many people. But those that got themselves established in the first lockdown, I think they probably got a good bit of business out of that. And also, that is now fast forward almost a number of years. Perhaps this would have happened in 5-6 years time anyway, but we've managed to sort of fast forward that, like many things in this COVID thing has done for the country. It's fast forward a lot of stuff. So perhaps those businesses weren't going to adopt takeaway anyway, but they've just ended up doing it earlier, and it might become part of our mainstream psyche now.
Well, look, your industry is not an easy one in the best of times, and I think very few people appreciate the pressures on those that open and run restaurants, the costs, the overheads. And, you know, sustaining a business like this is extremely expensive, and it's a competitive field. And I just mention all that because I'm curious to know what you think the lasting consequences of the hardships of this year will be for your sector. Will it come out the other side of this for all the government support schemes looking anything like it did before this crisis began? I mean, presumably there are going to be restaurants that don't come back. There will be further changes. Are you able to look ahead and consider what life will be like for your sector on the other side of this crisis?
I think it's very difficult to picture what that will be like. All I can tell you is that, as you've sort of intimated towards, the restaurant sector specifically run on very low margins. It's a very fragile business in the first instance. And this will be a test for an awful lot of those businesses. You know, you have to imagine, when we first came out on the 4th of July, and they said, okay, you can open now. You need to adopt some COVID practices, some meter distancing and getting the hand wash in and bits. But ultimately, you can adapt that however you like. And then if you imagine, it was then introduced, okay, now it's a maximum of 6 people. Now nobody from the same household. Now everybody needs to wear masks, which also has an impact negatively as well. Then we have to close at 10 o'clock. So all these things crept in eventually. Had they have come out and said on the 4th of July, you can now open, but all of these restrictions are in place, I can assure you a lot of people would not have opened. So what I'm saying is, these restrictions that are in place now will be a test that will end up dissolving a lot of restaurants. Some, perhaps, and I say this cautiously, but some perhaps were not robust enough businesses to survive anyway, and perhaps they shouldn't have survived through it. But this will be the undoing of a lot of people. And that's because those demands and those conditions that we run on, and the limitations on the business anyway, and the tightness of the margins make it very difficult to trade. And so this will be a big test. And I think coming out the other end of it, the restaurants that do survive and the hospitality businesses that are there will be the ones that should be there, that are robust and are strong businesses. So that's in some ways a good thing. But it will have a big clear out of the market, that's for sure. That's for sure.
I think Giles Corran described your restaurant, Trinity, as close to perfect restaurant as you can get. And having been there a few times myself, I am inclined to agree. Quite apart from the food, it has a fantastic atmosphere and a really graceful informality. And I think something that people who love restaurants, and certainly people who run restaurants, will always hold dear is the atmosphere of a restaurant. And I was brought up in a restaurant, and my mother runs a restaurant, owns a restaurant on the Isles of Scilly. And I know even to this day, there's nothing she likes more than being on the floor in the restaurant when it's just singing, when it's just clear from that unique sound of a happy restaurant that everybody's having a good time and all the staff are doing as you would want them to do. And that's been difficult to recreate with the restrictions and the regulations that you've just referred to. And we will get back to that, and Trinity will get back to that. But quite apart from all of the bureaucracy and the financing and the difficulties that you're navigating now, I'm assuming, Adam, that you just must miss that sound of a happy restaurant.
Yeah, I think, listen, Giles was very kind with his comment a number of years back when he reviewed Trinity, and I've never had an opportunity to thank him for that. Actually, I've never seen him in person, but he was kind with that. And thank you for your kind words, because when you talk about Trinity in that way, I think that really encapsulates what I've always strived for there. You know, Trinity, any great restaurant, is not about the food. It's not about the wine. It's not about just the service. It's about the atmosphere and that 2 hours or so of absolute escapism from the crazy world that's out there. We provide guests with 2 hours of unadulterated escapism and being cared for and being looked after. And that's what we've always strived for. So we've never sort of positioned this is a temple of gastronomy, or this is where you need to come to get this wine, and this is, you know, it's all about wine. It's not about that. It's all about the entire package. And I think we've really always strive for that. And I really do think that at the moment Trinity hits that spot. But I do seriously miss that, you know, there is that time in the middle of service when, you know, the coffee machine's going and the decanters are pouring and there's chatter and laughter in the room and all that atmosphere going on. It is something that if you've lived and breathed that for years and years, it is absolutely infectious and something that stays inside you. It's part of your DNA. And seeing the team all just working in one harmonious way to deliver this amazing thing, and the guests are all cheering, and it's lovely. You know, that's a really beautiful thing. That's why we do it. And ultimately, you know, there are easier ways to earn a living. It is very difficult. The hours are very unforgiving, but it is why we do it, because there is no real feeling that you can get like that anywhere else. And it is lovely when it all works in one piece. Doesn't always work like that, I have to say. Doesn't always work like that.
Well, look, Adam, if we were to speak again a year from now, what would you like us to be discussing then? What future do you still see now for Trinity and for your other ventures beyond this mess and this difficulty?
It would be great just to get back to that point where we can, you know, people can dine on as big a table as they wish, and as many people can come at the same time as they wish, and we don't have to worry about which household they're from. We don't have to wear masks and all those lovely things that we are, you know, slowly becoming, you know, quite accustomed to now. It will be lovely, but I do think that that is quite a way away, and we need to embrace this and be the best we can with those restrictions in place. And I think we've done that over the lockdown period, over the sort of the trading period in those 3 months. I think we've managed to adopt that, and I'm not unhappy with the restaurant that we now offer. I like it. Some bits of it frustrate me, but ultimately, it's still a very good experience. But I would love to think that in a year's time, we are away. This is behind us. We're looking back on it as a year that we all gasp at and, you know, tell our grandchildren about that we went through it and came out the other side. That's what I really want for me, myself, my team, and my family.
Well, well put, Adam. And I will be there as soon as I can. And I wish you all the very best, and indeed to everybody in this sector that's having such a time of it. But I've no doubt that we will be back enjoying that atmosphere and enjoying all of London's restaurants as soon as we're able to, because the demand is not going to go away, even if it is a different experience. But for now, we'll have to leave it there. I wish you well. Adam, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you, Christian. Thank you very much for having me on. Take care. We're looking forward to cooking for you soon.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to The City View, the podcast from City AM in partnership with CMC Markets. Do join me again next week.
CMC Markets is one of the world's leading CFD and spread betting providers with more than three decades of experience. Trade with CMC and you're trading with experts. 79% of retail investor accounts lose money.